The movies come from across the country. Some have top-tier actors like Julia Roberts and Meryl Streep. Others are low-budget films made in Memphis and starring, well, maybe your next-door neighbor. With more than 40 films to choose from, we've enlisted commercial appeal film critic John Bifus to help us navigate the weekend schedule. John Bifus, thank you for joining us today.
Christopher, thanks for having me.
Before we get into the movies, let's explain Indie Memphis a little bit. It's a festival. It's also a competition. What's the upshot of first getting your movie on the lineup and then, say, winning the prize?
Well, this is the 16th year of the Indie Memphis Film Festival, and it really has been in the ascent all those years. It's still what you would call, I guess, a middle tier or second tier festival. It's obviously not on the level of, to state the obvious, on the level of Sundance or Toronto or something. To get into a festival like Indie Memphis can give you exposure, can help you meet other fellow filmmakers, can lead to connections to other festivals. And if you get an award, you know, it's just sort of the icing on the cake. You can put that little laurel and logo on your poster and advertisements.
Okay, John Bifus, let's talk about movies. Now, there are different tiers of films, it seems, and the most buzz is around what they call the gala movies.
Since Eric Jambor became the executive director of Indie Memphis several years ago, he really has elevated the programming and been able to build some relationships with some of the major studios. So this year you have some fairly significant films that are definitely going to be Oscar buzzed about. You've got August Osage County, which is based on the Pulitzer Prize winning play by Tracy Letts, and that stars Meryl Streep, and she's touted already as a Best Actress nominee. You've got a movie called Nebraska with Bruce Dern, who also is being touted as an Oscar nominee, and that's from Alexander Payne, who directed Election and The Descendants. You've got a movie called Mandela, A Long Walk to Freedom with Idris Elba as Nelson Mandela. That's kind of a biopic, and that also is supposed to get some Oscar nominations. So for whatever that's worth, Oscar nominations obviously aren't the barometer necessarily of a movie's quality, but all those movies are getting a lot of attention and should be well worth seeing, and you will get to see them weeks early. And some of those movies may not even open in Memphis till January, so it's a good chance to get an early jump on them.
So let's get into the real indie movies. One movie that people are talking about is called Escape from Tomorrow, and it's a story about a family whose theme park vacation takes a surreal turn.
That's a rare movie where the story, the backstory to the production of the movie is arguably more interesting than the movie itself, or at least more intriguing or unusual. The filmmaker Randy Moore and some of his associates literally shot it guerrilla style in secret at Disneyland and Disney World. They went there as tourists, but they had these portable digital cameras that resemble still picture cameras. They had their actors, their cast there. They shot it on the sly without permission. And, you know, Disney is notoriously litigious about and protective of their copyrights. And when they edited the film, in fact, you see Goofy, you see Mickey Mouse walking around, you see the Magic Castle, you see all these trademarked Disney places and characters, but it's presented in the context of evil, like they suggest the fairy princesses may be prostitutes. They digitally put some fangs on some of the It's a Small World After All puppets and things like that. So after the movie premiered at Sundance, it had a lot of buzz, and people thought there's no way this movie will ever be allowed to be seen after this event in public. Disney is going to clamp down on them. But instead, Disney decided any publicity is good publicity for a project. They've decided to ignore it. So the movie is out there now, and it should actually be inspirational for low-budget filmmakers, because the message of the making of the movie is just go for it and let the mice fall where they may or whatever.
Now, documentaries are always a big part of the festival, and I noticed there are several that are about music.
Right. There's one called Meanwhile in Memphis that's literally been years in the making, and it's almost like a film anthology of recent Memphis musical history, and it covers all the genres and idioms. You've got rap music, you've got the grifters and kind of the punk and post-punk music. So it's really democratic, and its viewpoint of what it presents as worthwhile Memphis music. There's a documentary about Teenie Hodges.
And then there's a documentary about the Beatles, the secretary of the Beatles, and also one that used new footage from a Rolling Stones tour.
The Beatles-related movie is called Good Old Frida, and it's a documentary portrait of the woman in Liverpool who, as a teenager, became the head of the local Liverpool Beatles fan club, and then she just became the head of the Beatles fan club, and she's very loyal, apparently, and all these years she's been protective of and a fan of the Beatles and handling a lot of their fan stuff. So that, again, gives you a glimpse of one of the world's biggest rock bands ever from the ground floor up.
Now, every year, locals contribute a number of movies to the festival, and from what I've seen, they all have a very DIY quality
right.
to them. As a film critic, John Bifus, what do you enjoy about seeing these very rough but valiant efforts?
Well, there's the local films. On some years, there's a bunch of them, and they're all different kinds. Some years, there's very few of them. The quality wavers. This year, there's only a couple of local narrative feature films. One of them is directed by Alan Gardner, who's been making movies for a long time in Memphis. And that movie is called Being Awesome. And it's sort of a buddy picture slash romantic comedy. And that one is actually quite professionally done and well scripted, well acted. The other one is called What I Love About Concrete. And it's a little rougher, but it's really fascinating. I guess I should say, disclaimer, I'm actually in that movie as a sort of a cameo, as playing one of the characters' dads. And they shot the thing so long ago, I honestly never thought it would see the light of day. So here it is finally showing up. So I'm not going to be able to review this movie in print because I'm a participant in it. But it has one of the best premises ever. It's about a high school girl who finds a dead swan, and she puts it in her bag, puts it in her backpack, and later she opens the backpack up, and there's a boy in it. So she discovers that there's birds that turn into people. So this dead swan becomes a dead boy, and that becomes the starting point for a pretty unusual, very interesting, very low budget, but very ingeniously constructed movie. And I would recommend people see What I Love About Concrete.
And you are the second person I've talked to who I have just learned is actually in one of these movies. Our classical music host, Khaki Walton, also makes an appearance in one of these films.
She's in a short film that has a zombie premise, and that short film is great.
Joining us today was John Bifus, film critic for the Commercial Appeal. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Now, let's go ahead and leave listeners with a little message from the film that you have a cameo in, John, What I Love About Concrete.
Okay.
Your father and I have made an appointment for you for tomorrow at the Memphis Psychotherapy Clinic.
Okay, that's really awesome, Mom. You think I'm a crazy person. Awesome.
That is not for us to decide. You know that your father takes his pill every day, and look how happy and successful he is.
Listen to your mother.